to Middays with Marcus Maben, delivered by Papa John's on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maben.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Midday with Marcus Maben. 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. People, you asked for it. You pleaded for it. You begged for it. My man, Brian Hall, was able to deliver. We have a special guest. We have a guest who we hope to have on a weekly basis or monthly basis or any kind of basis acceptable. We got Coach Mike Summers on 93.9. Coach, how's it going?
Hey, Marcus, how you doing? I appreciate you having me on and taking the opportunity. It's great to be on. No, just excited to be back at Louisville.
I know that's right. Absolutely, Coach. But Coach Summers, last time we talked, last time I believe I had you on the show, you were in the evaluation stages of your offensive line. That's always a tough because you have to be really like nitpicky, I guess, if that's a word, at what your team has. Could you just to start off, could you tell me how are you feeling as opposed to when you first arrived, you know, on campus and checked out your offensive line?
Well, I think, you know, that evaluation process is such a key part of what we do as a coaching staff and certainly what you have to do as a position coach. All of those guys collectively end up making up the offensive line. And so to understand who they are and what makes them work and meshing them together becomes kind of the key to coaching that group. And certainly as we went through January and February and March, got into spring ball, every day, those guys are building their reputation with me, and I'm doing the same thing with them. The evaluation process goes both ways. And so as we have grown together this spring, you know, I've been really encouraged with the personality and the character of the guys in that room, in that offensive line room. And I've seen guys, you know, step up to the challenges that we've put in front of them. And we've got guys that are currently still on that road to stepping up and meeting some of the challenges that we've put in front of them. And I think all the time that's a continually growing process of guys understanding what the expectations I have for them are, and then their ability to go out and put the work in to reach that standard. And I'm encouraged. I really am. Coming through spring ball, we made a lot of progress. We identified some players that we think are going to be able to be significant contributors to what we do. And now we're trying to pick back up. One of the things that I talked to them about coming out of spring is that we didn't want to lose ground off of what we had gained in the spring and basically start over again when we got back in this last part of May and first part of June. And I think the guys have done a good job of continuing their conditioning and continuing their strength development, but then also continuing their football intellect, the things that they had learned through the spring. So I'm really encouraged right now.
Now, talking with Coach Summers here on 93.9, what would you consider is the most important thing of meshing the players? Because, you know, it's almost like you were reading my questions that I had lined up. I know you have to build a trust factor between yourself and the players, just like they have to learn to trust each other. So what is it? Are you like a team building exercise guy, or are you kind of just a competition builds respect for each other, you know, kind of coach when you're talking about meshing the players together?
Right. I think the success that I've had through my career has been in building a trust relationship with the guys that I coach. I don't think that, you know, when you're in the third and fourth quarter of a game on Saturday night and all the chips are in the middle of the table, I don't think you get exactly what you want and you don't get the full commitment that you're looking for unless those players trust what they're being told, unless you have that relationship developed. And certainly through the spring and in the early part of the summer, that's been what my goal has been, is to establish my personality,
right,
and my expectations, and let them understand that this is a process where I care about their development and care about how they not only play football but execute their life decisions as well. And I think once you have established that, once players understand that you know, your relationship with them doesn't hinge on whether they did well on that play or they did not do well on that play, that relationship goes deeper than that,
right?
Then they're willing to expose a part of their character that rarely comes out. And that's that deep commitment where I'm willing to give everything I have to make myself better. And that manifests itself a lot of different ways. Certainly it does in their strength development. You know, when you talk about getting stronger in the weight room, the way that you do that is to put weight on the bar. Well, when you try to get stronger mentally tough, more intellectually developed in terms of your football knowledge, that also requires putting weight on the bar, so to speak. You have to push yourself beyond areas where you're comfortable so that you adapt to that that extra pressure, that extra load of decision-making. And so all of that is taking place right now. We do a lot of things outside of football to strengthen that relationship. Certainly this summer is set up that way with a lot of events that we will do together. We're on that road right now. You know, it's early in that process, but like I said, I feel good that we've got guys in that room that are really responding.
Now talking with Coach Summers here on 93.9, if you can allow me to get a little more particular, without getting us both in trouble, where have you seen the most improvement with your offensive line without giving away the scouting report?
Well, I think the place that I started with from scratch was just our fundamental development. And basically when I talk to the players about when a coach walks in the room and you're sitting in those seats as a player, you want to know, hey, coach, how are you going to develop me? And basically I lay that out into three categories. And the first one of those categories is fundamental development. And basically, those are things that you do when the ball gets snapped that you don't have time to think about: where your feet go, where your hands go, and where your eyes go. Those have to be trained responses based
right
off of the front that you see. And so we spent most of our time and have spent a lot of our time just in that fundamental strengthening process, where our pad level is, where our hands go on contact, how to work combinations with each other so that we mesh together rather than stepping on each other or having too much air between the combination blocks.
Right.
So there's a lot of time spent on things that seem kind of mundane to maybe to someone outside. You know, a 6-inch step is critical for us because it allows us to understand what leverage means. And so as we develop through that process, that's where I've spent most of my time and where I've seen these guys kind of grow, is that
right,
I feel like that we're more consistent with our body position, and certainly that puts us in a better position to execute once we attach that fundamental to a play.
Now, talking with Coach Summers here on 93.9, now here's the meaty question that I've been dying to ask you in particular. Now, you have a responsibility to protect Lamar Jackson. Now, it's kind of a two-part question. Because he's such a rare commodity, how do you balance the trust relationship between, okay, my line has to, you know, like some mistakes are going to be on Lamar, some mistakes are going to be on your line. Is that a difficult, you know, balancing act to say, hey, Lamar, my guy's held up for a certain amount of time? And I wanted to make it kind of a two-part question. You have a Reggie Bonifon who is maybe not as you know, seasoned as a running back. You know, how do you balance how do you balance between having a scrambling quarterback and a new running back and your offensive line responsibilities, if that makes any sense?
Sure. Well, I think one of the things that certainly comes from Coach Petrino all the way through and is true with our football team, I think a lot of people outside of football don't understand that pass protection is an 11-man responsibility.
Right.
Every guy in that huddle is responsible for our pass protection. If we have a 6-man protection that's set up where we have 3 blockers to the left and 3 blockers to the right, if they bring 4 to the left, then there's one guy that's free, and someone has to handle that guy. And so the wide receivers have to be in touch with that, because if they have to adjust their routes and to side adjust so that we can get the ball out of her hand. Lamar or whatever quarterback we have in there has to understand that, because he has to adjust the protection to get an extra blocker over there. And then certainly we have to hold up front on the guys that we're involved with in our one-on-one matchups. So pass protection becomes an 11-man responsibility. The route depths have to be perfect so that the ball comes out on time. The launch point has to be exact. I know that when we went to Atlanta and we were working with Michael Vick, and one of the things that became so critical with him in the early OTAs and things like that was his launch points had to be more consistent, because you would look at video and all of a sudden he's standing right behind the left tackle who thinks that he's got a lot of space and he really doesn't. And so in terms of generally protecting our quarterback, everyone has to assume that responsibility. And then up front, we have to do a great job of having a passion to play longer than the play calls for, so that guys that when the route does break down or someone does get covered and Lamar has to go through his progression reads, that we give him time to do that. And that's a big part of his development, is he's really learning how to push through progression reads and get to his second and third receiver. We have to be able to give him time to do that. And so all of the things go into that, the launch point, the offensive line being where they're supposed to be. Certainly the running back is a big part of that,
right,
and his responsibility. But we all take that on as an offense, and certainly we all have to do a better job than we did last year.
Now having an offensive line, it's often the unnamed hero. Would you be able to give us any names in particular of guys who have just, you know, I don't know if you like to talk through the media about anybody, but do you have any superlatives for any of your offensive line's performance so far?
Well, I think there are guys that we certainly have to count on to have outstanding years. Jaron Christian and Lucas McNeil have to be guys that consistently perform at a high level, and we have to put a lot of responsibility on their development,
right,
and their production has got to be consistent, more consistent. And I'm encouraged with where they are. Robbie Bell is a young player that's moved in at center, and he's shouldering a lot of responsibility in there, because that is, that's our quarterback up front. He's the guy that's going to set the scheme for us and ID fronts and put us on point linebackers and really set the scheme for all of us up front. And, you know, I was encouraged with his development over the spring, but certainly he's going to have to be a consistent performer who hasn't got a lot of experience being in there. And then probably one of the real surprises for the spring was Cole Bentley, our new freshman from Belfry, Kentucky, that enrolled in school in January and went through spring practice with us. And, physically he had the tools when he walked in the door to be able to step in there and compete. And his concern was going to be just learning the intricacies of this offense, which are many. And he worked really hard all spring and made a lot of mistakes, but developed and learned from his mistakes. And towards the end of spring, was really taking reps with that first team, and we were really excited about where he was. And already starting back in the summer, I can see his confidence growing. And so those are some guys that we're really excited about. Kenny Thomas is another kid that played a lot last year, and he's playing in at guard for us right now and had a really consistent spring. And then as we develop our depth behind those guys, you know, it's been rare in my career that you make it through a season with five guys. And so what's going to be important is that the guys behind our front group develop, so that when we have to start playing guys that in the rotation, that our performance doesn't drop off.
Coach Summers, I hear the giddiness in your voice. I appreciate the audio football adrenaline you gave me today. I'm looking forward. Hopefully I can have you back on the show down the line. The fans needed this. I needed this more than anybody. Anytime you want to, drop us a couple lines, please feel free.
Well, Marcus, I appreciate it. You know, every day when I get out of bed in the morning, I'm so excited about the opportunity to come to work at the University of Louisville and work with these guys, developing them, and it's a roll up your sleeves and get dirty process. But, you know, I've been doing it for a long time, and it gets me excited every morning. And I can't tell you how fired up we are about going into this summer.
Fired up is the word, Coach Summers. I appreciate your time. I definitely appreciate your time, and that's why we're kindred spirits.
You bet. Absolutely. Thanks a lot.
Definitely, definitely. That was Coach Mike Summers. How can you get so excited? How can you not get excited about that? I didn't want him to single out the players that's been balling, but when you try to get a coach to single out players and he ends up naming your entire offensive line, you know what that means, people? It means they're going to be a problem. They are going to be a problem. Shout out to Brian Hall getting the job done, getting us those coaches in here, man.
You're good. I, you know what? I actually say that Mike Summers might be the best addition. When you include recruits and coaches,
Goodness gracious.
He might be the best addition we made this offseason.
People, look at the man's resume. Like, his resume is crazy. I had so much material. I'm going through his resume. I want to ask him about his experiences at USC. I wanted to ask him about players he coached at Florida, and it's like, whoa. It just ended up being too many people to ask him about. I'm like, Louisville fans are going to get mad at me because I want to pick his brain on life.
Yeah, and it's good that he
And we don't say ages, people, but he's been doing it for a minute.
But he was in a position of need where, you know, the line is obviously the thing that everybody's questioned. So it's really good to hear him speak so highly of all the players coming in and all the guys that have been here and how they're working very hard this offseason because, I mean, I know we've said it on this show multiple times, but if that offensive line can just be average, that the things that Lamar Jackson will be able to do will be unreal.
And again, like he said, 11-man job, and I'm glad he pointed that out in particular. Lamar, you know, he has to do his job. The reason I liked Reggie Bonifon at the move because I knew he could handle pass pro, you know? Yeah. Like, I knew he would be able, long arm, 6'3 guy, short yardage guy. I thought he'd be effective and definitely pass protection because he understands it from a quarterback perspective, and he can clean up any mistakes that, you know, that actually happened. He can actually remind Lamar, hey, man, you know, you're going to have to, you know, account for that weak side linebacker. Like, this is a smart, smart coach with a smart, you know, quarterback, running back, offensive line system. That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun, and I'm excited about that. This is just a great Friday. Derwin Webb's calling. It's a 502 Cafe Friday. It's a 1923 South 4th Street Friday. It's a Friday. Guess where we're going right after the show?
502, man. I'm hungry.
Absolutely. We're going to cut to a quick commercial break. You can't put Mike Summers and then just stumble into some other conversation. We're going to reset a little bit of that morning conversation, a little bit of that Brian Bowen conversation, a little bit of that Adam Silver conversation. Uh-huh. Kenny Klein, Brandon McKay, shout out. Louisville's rolling midday with Marcus Maven on 93.9 The Ville.
Welcome back to Middays with Marcus Maben, delivered by Papa John's on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maben.
Welcome back. Midday with Marcus Maben. 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. Can you tell what this weather's doing to me? Can you tell what some little signing, some insignificant slash big time McDonald's All-American signing can do to cheer up your day? A little sunshine, a little good recruiting, a little go figure. Sunshine, Mike Summers on the air. Goodness gracious, life it's just rolling along. But people, I knew it was gonna be that kind of day. You again, people, we're gonna talk about this Brian Bowen thing like he already signed, right? We're going to enjoy this a little bit and a lot. When you wake up, all you can see is the layup line at the Yum Center with some long 6'7", with a team full of 6'7" slim dunking machines. Come on over here, Brian. Come on, we got a jersey for you right now. Get ready, Ray. Get ready, Anas. Get ready, fellas. Dwayne, I ain't forgetting about you. Get ready. Young Malik. Young Bull. Get ready. I'm telling you, man, I'm excited. You start landing McDonald's all the because we talked about it. The reason I went with DMX is because that's the aggression that you better not let Coach Pitino get hold of these five-star players.
I love it.
Nobody wants Coach Pitino. They like the cute, tough team, the scrappy team, the overachieving team. Now you're talking about dominant teams. Now you're talking about bully teams. Now you're talking about teams that start looking, quote unquote, classless for running up scores, right? Boy. And listen, I hear about the practices. I know what's going on over there. You think word doesn't get back to me? You think the individual workouts and what's going on doesn't get right back to me? I mean, you know I know what's going on, people. I can go play you clips from Bob Balvano. I can play you interviews with national pundits. And then when you hear them say exactly what Marcus Maven tells you, I want you to just acknowledge it. Acknowledge that Marcus told you first. Just like you acknowledge that Drew Deaner, you know, told you Brian Bowen was enrolled in the university. Marcus told you this team was a problem. I got to get to these phone lines. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Hey, listen, the inboxes, I appreciate it. The Twitter messages, I appreciate it. I'm glad everybody's enjoying. I feel like I'm back. I feel like my radio version, my rebirth, my University of Louisville is shining bright. Joe, thanks for joining me on Midday with Marcus Maven. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Marcus. I just wanted to say, if I'm 99% sure we're going to get Brian Bowen. He's going to sign tomorrow. But this is the recruiting class that we've been waiting for Louisville for years from Pitino. We always knew he could get the talent. With everyone doing these one and done and him not really going after these freshmen, this is the year that I think he's got probably one of the most talented teams he's ever going to have as far as freshmen. And I don't think anybody that started last year can be safe with this team coming in.
Listen, Joe, let me ask you this question. I mean, I agree with you. This is the class, the recruiting class we were waiting on. This is also the recruiting class that the rest of the NCAA feared that we would get hold of. But let me ask you this, Joe. Let me be wet blanket guy for a second. Do you feel like it's too much pressure now? Do you feel like, because you know with VJ King, we felt like we had to show that we could put guys right into the league. So we worried about VJ King being unhappy and things like that. Do you think with this recruiting class, the pressure might be a little too much?
No, because we still don't get the respect. We're still not getting the respect that we deserve as a team. So, yeah, there's going to be pressure to perform from the fans.
Right.
But as far as from other teams, analysts, anyone like, you know, they never respect us anyway. So let's go out there and show them, hey, you better start respecting us, and you need to respect Pitino again.
Joe, let me guess. Let me guess.
Group he's going to get.
Let me guess. You're run up the score guy, huh?
Oh, yeah. I want to be – if this. Let's put our five freshmen out there against Kentucky's five freshmen next year and see what happens.
Joe, I appreciate the call. Brian, I could hear it in his voice, man. This is one of those guys who gets kicked out of the youth league because he comes in with the team and he puts up those 115 points. He's the guy who tells his kid to dance in the end zone, do the cabbage patch. Man, people, I'm dating myself. Do the cabbage patch in the end zone, and he's one of those guys that say, if you don't like me celebrating in the end zone, you come out here and stop me.
I kind of like that the commitment, we kind of pretty much already know it's a done deal, but
yes.
It's not, because it's letting us celebrate it for like a week. And we can just – because like I think all Louisville fans are just super excited right now.
Because the pressure might come back on too. Like we're going to have fun with this right now, and I'm having a blast, trust me. But – when the pressure of having to play five stars and winning with, I mean, that's going to be anxiety all to itself. But today?
Today's celebration.
Today is fun.
Yeah, yesterday, the past couple days have been fun.
I mean, the squad.
Tomorrow's going to be glorious.
I was already excited about what the class was working with. Now, I mean, everything's on me. Meet me at 502 Cafe. Like,
well, that's what I'm saying, is we were already talking about how this is one of Pitino's better classes. We were excited to see what Malik Williams and Darius Perry and Jordan Moore and Lance Thomas were going to bring. It was already a top 10 class, and now you just throw in you know, a five-star McDonald's All-American at the on the last minute, and he's actually going to be the highest-rated recruit of them all, which is crazy.
Listen, our partnerships are going to grow really fast. You better get in early because this show right here is the Louisville conduit of all information Louisville, right? You know what this was going to become, people. When you heard me a year ago on Midday with Marcus Baby, you knew what this was going to turn into, right? Everybody knew, Brian.
Oh, yeah. We saw the writing on the wall. There were stars to be made.
Period. Point blank. Let me get to speaking of stars. We got Hollywood on line.
Yeah, we got Hollywood.
Thanks
over
for
here.
Joining me on 93.9. What's on your mind?
My man, Marcus.
What's going on, Hollywood?
You know, we ain't talked for a minute.
I know.
Man, but I had to call in. And the reason I did was because, man, I am so excited. But I had a couple questions.
I got
answers.
And you
know better than anybody. What's your thoughts? Would you think that VJ and this new kid and Ray Spalding in the middle, is Pitino's going to take more emphasis off of defense now, and he's going to try to outscore you? I think he's – correct me if I'm wrong, but could you imagine those three with their wingspans in the middle if they play a 1-3-1 zone with Honest in the back? Is that possible?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not, Hollywood. I appreciate the call. You got a little bit of static in the background.
You're gonna shut him down like that?
No. It was background. It sounded horrible.
No, I meant his thing.
Yes, absolutely not. There will be no focus on the offensive end. You want to know why? Because when you get people that can already score, you know what you got to teach them to do? D up. Pitino sticking to his principles is like a crumb. Pitino, people who stick to their principles win for a longer period of time. They outlast the gimmicks, right? Mm-hmm. They outlast the Phoenix Suns gimmicks, right? The idea, if you get awesome offensive talent, tall offensive talent, and get them to be able to play some defense, you are absolutely unstoppable. The offense is not what makes you unstoppable. It's not what makes you intimidating. It's the idea that you can put Honest, Ray Spalding, long arm guys, and make it tough for everybody else. Willing defenders that can shoot as good as your team win championships. I understand your point, Hollywood. Just knowing that you got some offensive talent and it looks good, but defense wins championships. We know that. Cliches are cliches for a reason. Defense wins championships. It doesn't excite me that everybody can shoot open shots. It excites me that you can miss 10 shots and not give up one bucket. And then it excites me when you know you have a Darius Perry with wiggle. Can get to the basket and get fouled when you haven't been scoring. You have a Brian Bowen. I've seen him, people. He gets a matchup. This is what I'm talking about. How many times have you saw a guy and you say, why don't you just take him to the block? You know, you're taller than him. You're a two guy. You're taller. That's what's different about Brian Bowen. That's why he moved up. That's why a five-star is a five-star. Because a four-star or a three-star might have this potential and might be hot one day and shoot, you know, hit 30 points from a three-point line, right? But tomorrow when his three-pointer isn't going in, he might score 15 points, right? Five-star McDonald's guy knows three misses from the three-point line. I'm taking this kid to the block. I'm going to get fouled. I'm going to get two buckets. Then I'll go back out to the three-point line. Kids that understand this, that's what basketball IQ is. That's what savvy is. That's why I love these new – Quentin Snyder has that savvy. Give him 2 inches maybe and a peak bit of athleticism. He's not even or more athleticism. He's not even at this school anymore. Quentin Snyder is a championship leader guy. Darius Perry has crazy wiggle. That Ray Spalding guy at the back of that defense, watch how he breaks down Watch how aggressively he makes the other team, the rest of the team play defense. Yes, I'm talking about these new guys, but he's going to make sure no other team score. Honest is going to, they take pride in this defense. That's going to be passed down. Offensive talent is going to be offensive talent mixed with individual instruction that Rick Pitino provides and conditioning. Goodness gracious, Noir, help him, because that man's going to be, he has so much untapped potential. Babu, what up? There is so much untapped potential on the team that are already 4 and 5 stars that, I mean, you're going to be blown away when you see, I mean, when you start seeing them in the red and white game, you're going to be blown away. Let me get back to these phone lines. I'm getting way too excited, way too ahead of myself. Darren, thanks for joining me on Midday with Marcus Maven. What's on your mind?
Darren, am I on?
Yeah, fire away.
I'm fixing to fire away. You know, Marcus, you know my situation. Everybody that knows me personally and a few people on the radio knows that I'm 90% blind. But I tell you what, I can see right through you, K-Vance. You know, it's so easy. Easy pickings. I love, you know, when you call him out and everything. You know, he if he knew half as much as he thinks he is, he wouldn't even be here in Louisville. But I will say this, Marcus, I don't even get mad anymore.
Yes, you do, Darren.
I feel sorry for the cat, but I want everybody to ask UK fans one question, and this will be a good Twitter question, I suppose. Calipari had been at UK 7, 8 years, whatever, right?
Right.
As I watch the NBA Finals, where's all this UK talent at? I can't find one nowhere. How many UK players, or have any of them even been in the Finals since Calipari's been there? I just wanted to throw that question out there.
Listen, Darren, I appreciate the call. Darren, he gets under your skin, doesn't he?
Oh, man, he...
You can set your watch by the UK Vince call to the Darren call, right?
No, it's actually funny because I've had a couple people call in. One of my favorite lady callers, Paula, she calls in and has said, I'm waiting for Darren to call in.
Like
UK Vince called in. Now, where's Darren? And I said, you know what's funny? He actually did call in. I talked to him, but Mike Summers was coming on, and we had Mike Summers on the other line, so he had to wait till after
nothing
Mike.
Nothing gets under Darren's skin like a call from UK Vince. And Vince, your shot was off today. Like, I got to admit, UK Vince, sometimes he makes you take a second look at your opinion, right?
Yeah.
UK Vince's shot was off today. I mean, he's like, Kentucky put him in the league, but Kentucky didn't put him in the league. You know?
Well, his argument was that, they're still getting drafted high. And I said, well, yeah, they're drafted high off potential, but the whole argument is that players are coming in not ready to play right now.
And not developing people. For those of you who weren't joining us earlier, we had the conversation. We pointed out the quote from Adam Silver himself. When I brought this quote, I brought it to everybody's attention, but if you're a sports guy like me, maybe you heard this quote. This is an Adam Silver direct quote. Who is he talking about when he says that? I'm just trying to reset the discussion. They're happy. Man, hit that door.
Yeah, I'm getting
Sweeney.
It.
Shut up, Sweeney. Running the show here. Goodness gracious.
Come on.
I know.
Andy's so wild.
Be professional around here. You know, don't come terrorize your show. I wish Steve was in here right now. Rum Edge, what's going on?
What's up?
Listen, Adam Silver, who is he talking about right now? It's not working. This is a quote. It's not working for the college coaches and athletic directors I hear from. They're not happy with the current system, and I know our teams aren't happy either, in part because they don't necessarily think the players who are coming into the league are getting the kind of training that they would expect to see. He's not saying they're not getting training, but the kind of training they would expect. That means they're not even getting the bare minimum training. They're not holding him, and I'm saying him. Who do you think he was talking about? Who's been the face of one and done? You can't be 30 for 30 one and done guy, right? And then when Adam Silver says this one and done crap isn't working, say, oh, he's talking about the all of college athletics as a whole. No, he's not. You want to be one and not done guy? and 30 for 30 all over my TV, guess who Adam Silver's talking about? He's talking about you right now. What you're doing is not working for the coaches, for the AD. And listen, I get your point. Yeah, all the other coaches are just mad because he's dominating. Is he dominating? Is he dominating?
Mm-mm.
One championship out of all this
one
stuff?
One championship.
Is he dominating?
No.
The top teams are not afraid of Kentucky. Ex-Wisconsin. Oh, I couldn't help myself.
You would think in the old days, if there was a school that every year was the number one in recruiting class, they would be winning national championships left and right.
I know.
But it's different because he has to reboot his team every year.
Am I being fair about saying that he's talking – if they are wearing the flag of one and done that Adam Silver's talking about Kentucky with this comment?
Yeah, I think it's definitely – everybody knows that Cal and Kentucky were the ones that started really
you wear the flag of one and done.
One and done.
He says players are coming into the league and are not getting the kind of training that they would expect to see as a league.
Yeah.
He's talking about your players.
Mm-hmm.
That's the commissioner of the next level saying you're sending us crap. Boombox Mike, thanks for joining me on 93.9. What's on your mind?
Mark is talking about one and undercooked over here, man. They undercooked. Hey, that's what Coach Cal needs to do, man. He needs to head up to that buffet and get some of those undercooked burgers, and he'll understand or something like that.
Not around Memorial Day. Nothing's undercooked.
There you go. Hey, I wanted to give Brendan McKay a shout-out, man. Congratulations on the collegiate efforts this year, man, getting the awards. I thought that was really cool, man. But I wanted to
big
ask
time.
Your opinion on this. Hey, real quick, hey, Vincent and Dan are like Biggie and Pac for 93.9.
yes, indeed.
Hypothetical world. I know you love hypothetical
indeed.
World. It's one of my favorites as well, man. So we got Lamar, got his big trophy. We got Brendan, got his big trophy. Hypothetically, on our squad this year, who do you think could win the Naismith, man? I'd like to hear what you got to say, bro.
See what I'm saying? Man, Boombox, I appreciate the call. You see what I'm saying? People, Boombox Mike just asked a hypothetical question, a presentation question.
Mm-hmm.
Who could win a National Player of the Year? Don't give me chills, right? Don't give me chills because when you're on a team with four guys who are National Player of the Year type talents, does it even matter?
Mm-mm.
Does it even matter? Boombox, I wouldn't even dare answer that question right now. Like, that would be so much fun to think about. That's what I'm going to think about for the rest of my day. Who's the most likely? I mean, Adele, because he's went through a year where he got the most playing time. Talent, scoring, rawness, maybe VJ King.
Maybe.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Brian Bowen has got it.
Yeah.
Right? He has it. So that's three people right there who, of course, you would have to go deep. You would have to be in the national championship picture for any of these guys to be confirmed mm-hmm. National Player of the Year candidates. But that's three people who we just like mm-hmm. as starters. What happens when you get to the Malik Williams who nobody sees coming? What happens when Jordan Warrer ends up, going 63% from three-point range over a year and busts a bunch of records, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if his confidence is that high and he's just sharp shooting all day long? You have players that can be in the conversation of National Player of the Year because they have the look, they have the bodies to do it. When you decide on a National Player of the Year, you do realize people are looking at you and saying, I like him as a long-term prospect too. Because you don't want to give a guy a National Player of the Year in college and then he flames out in the pros.
Yeah.
So when you have three guys that have NBA bodies and physiques, you're a lot more comfortable saying, I could give him National Player of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
I could look at Brian Bowen and say, you know what? I'm comfortable. If that kid just comes in here and goes bananas, right?
Mm-hmm.
You would feel comfortable giving that stud McDonald's All-American a player of the year. Let me get to the phone lines.
Real quick, I think the reason why he's bringing that up is because, you know, we have the Heisman Trophy. Now we have National Player of the Year. If we won the basketball, we'd have the best player at all three major sports.
And when you have ladies making first-team All-American teams, that means you're at the forefront of every sport with the individual players, and your coaches develop. These are not freshmen.
Best
who are
athletes in the world are coming to Louisville.
Goodness gracious, who we got online?
We got Tori.
We got Tori on line one. Thanks for joining me on 93.9. What's on your mind?
Hey, Marcus, thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Listen, I just got a very, very few points I want to make. Here's what's going to change the dynamic of this so-called Kentucky dominance. In the next 2 years, when Rick Pitino, either when he wins one or two or back-to-back national titles, and Calipari's still sitting at one, with all these recruits he's done brought in, BBN is going to uproar, and it's going to be the end of the Calipari era in Lexington. That's the first thing that's going to happen. Second thing that's going to happen, when Rick Pitino, when Mike Allstork and the other kid, I can't think of his name right now, when they said that they weren't going to offer them a scholarship, I immediately said to myself, Rick is going to go out and get some monster that nobody sees coming. He does it every year. It's the Rick Pitino hyperbole, the side distraction that he doesn't want nobody to know about. I mean, as soon as they announced that they were going to offer them two guys a scholarship, it was almost a lock that he was going to bring in. It was just like David Padgett going to be out for like 8 weeks with that knee injury.
Right.
Come back in 2 weeks.
Right.
It's just what Rick does.
I don't know.
Just take the opposite of what he says.
Right.
And just, you know, do the opposite, because that's what's going to happen. Marcus, it's so great to be a Louisville fan right now. I mean, Kentucky, I've never heard of Kentucky. I didn't even know Kentucky
Crickets.
Had a baseball team. Crickets. Crickets. Now they're trying to hype up their little program like they dominate in all three sports. Come on, Marcus. Man, they ain't nobody got time for Kentucky. Thanks for taking my call, L1C4. Can't wait to the news tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
Absolutely.
National championship.
Absolutely. I appreciate the call. And people, again, we always want to make this disclaimer. Can you feel the excitement out here?
Well, I feel it.
I always want to make this disclaimer, people. We get in back and forth and we throw our, you know, we have our fun. But what I'm saying is fact, right? The idea that you don't, in the nicest way possible, people hate to just enjoy good programs on a meteoric rise, right?
Yeah.
It physically makes haters uncomfortable when people are smiling like I smile, when people are high-fiving at just the direction and momentum of the program. Mike Summers comes on the show, and our momentum vibe is fascinating. Mm. The recruiting momentum vibe is fascinating. The fact that I can leave this studio and I can physically feel the angst coming from people who don't like happiness makes me so much happier, right? Like, it's the most uncomfortable comfort I've ever felt in a positive story, like the Brian Bowen situation. Like, do you realize there are people physically praying to their entity that Louisville gets in trouble? Like they're going to sleep like, oh man, I'd do anything to have Louisville, you know, just get another year, man. I can't take this anymore. I just kill her. I hate this Louisville thing. They're too happy. They're smiling all the time. Brendan Kay just won the National Player of the Year. Oh, my God.
Do you know what else is fact?
I'm listening.
The UK Vince doesn't know how to say Scalabicia.
Oh, that was funny. You're giving UK Vince a hard time. Listen, people. That's the play out. We got some giveaways from 502 Cafe.
Yes, we need to get over to 502 Cafe. We have two $10 gift cards to Van Outfitters.
Nice.
And then we also have two Bats tickets that you can use to any game you want.
Any game?
Yes, you basically go, you get them at the will call. So two Bats tickets,
o'clock.
Van Outfitters.
6 o'clock, Radford. Get out to Jim Patterson Stadium. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful afternoon. 1923 South 4th Street. Get out and about and enjoy this Cardinal spirit.
And you'd be part of our gift package for two Bats tickets and $20 to Van Outfitters by Lips.
Get me out of this studio. I love it. Midday with Marcus Maben, 10 to 12 every day, 8150 99 is always the number on 939 The Ville.